What up, what up, what up, ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. I am your host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's very own Dre Day. What's up, what's up, what's up? This is episode 322. Of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. This episode here is going to be a short one. I promise y'all it's going to be a short one. I dropped one earlier this week and basically did my Super Bowl recap amongst other things. This episode is going to be very, very short. I'll say it's probably going to be a little over a half hour. I'm going to try, so bear with me. Y'all know once I get talking, I can't stop. But, you know, I got to talk about this Steve Wilks getting fired from the San Francisco 49ers as the defensive coordinator. I definitely have to speak on that because it really irked my soul to hear that he got fired. So y'all know where I'm going with that. And I'm definitely going to speak my mind on it. History has been made in college basketball. Well, women's college basketball. Caitlin Clark, all-time leader in scoring. Gonna speak about that. And I pose a question. Shaq got his number retired by the Orlando Magic. But should he have gotten his number retired is the question. So those are the three things that I'm going to speak on this episode. So let's just get straight to it. A few days ago, we found out that Steve Wilks was relieved of his duties from the San Francisco 49ers right after the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl was on Sunday. I believe it was either Tuesday or Wednesday. We found out that Steve Wilks was relieved of his duties. Immediately when it happened, Immediately, once it happened, it irked my soul because it was complete bullshit. Complete bullshit. This is a coordinator who, honestly, he's actually been getting the short end of the stick when it comes to coaching for quite some time now. What was it? He was the Arizona Cardinals coach in 2018. Got the short end of the stick there. I think he only coached there 1 year and got the axe. Nobody thought that they would do something special anyway, so why would you fire him after one season? He then goes to Cleveland, defensive coordinator. Probably 2-3 years, gets fired. 2022, he was the defensive passing game coordinator and secondary coach. Then he got upgraded to interim head coach. But see, here's the thing. When he became the interim coach for the Panthers, they got better. But somehow, some way, he still wound up getting fired. And now we get to this job with the San Francisco 49ers, where he becomes the defensive coordinator, being the successor to D'Amico Ryan, who was the defensive coordinator these past few years, who's done who did an amazing job with the Houston Texans as their head coach. And then he gets, and then this season, he gets fired. In my personal opinion, and I think everybody knows this, he's being the scapegoat in this situation. We all know it. It's crystal clear. It's ironclad. We are not dumb. We know what the situation is when it comes to Steve Wilks. He is being the scapegoat in this situation. Somebody had to get fired. And it ain't going to be who it's supposed to be. Because I'm using that as an example because, I mean, you don't want to hear about somebody losing their job. You don't. But since somebody lost their job in this situation, it's only right that I say the person who should have lost their job. And it wasn't Steve Wilks. Who should have lost their job was Kyle Shanahan. That's who should have lost their job, not Steve Wilks. Because let's put everything in a vacuum. Let's just put it all in perfect perspective. Let's get this shit out in the open now. Kyle Shanahan has been the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers for how many years now? Let's get straight to it. How long has he been the head coach for the San Francisco 49ers? Let's get to it, shall we? Since 2017, he has been the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. He has a 64-51 record, about 56%. His postseason record is 8-4. About 67% winning percentage, right? He's been to 4 AFC championship games. NFC championship games. He split the 4. He split the 4. Well, actually, no. He's been to 4 AFC championship games. 4 NFC championship games. And he split them. 4, he's 2-2. You've been to 2 Super Bowls. And in both those Super Bowls, you've had a 10-plus point lead, and you blew both of them. Okay? I'm not even going to go into the 28-3 debacle when you was the offensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons. And you blew that shit against the Patriots. In fact, I am going to go there because it's on your resume. Okay? So that's 3. That's three times. Right? We're just going to talk about this game. We're just going to talk about the last game that just happened, which was the Super Bowl. I'm going to defend Steve Wilks in this situation because if you really think about it, if you truly, really think about it, that defense that the Niners was doing on Patrick Mahomes in that first half was amazing. Patrick Mahomes couldn't do anything. He was very fizzled and very hesitant in that paint. He had to scramble. He couldn't make plays. He got sacked. The defense caused a fumble. They couldn't do anything in that first half with that defense. It wasn't until that turnover, that fumble on special teams, that really got the Chiefs offense back in line. Because that next play, right after that fumble, what happened? Patrick Mahomes throws a touchdown pass, and then the offense just took it from there. Because remember, the 49ers only gave up 3 points. They only gave up 3 points in the first half. That's all they gave up in the first half was 3 points. Now, that second half, they gave up 22 points. Yes, that's inexcusable. But when you think about it, look who they was going up against. They was going up against Patrick Mahomes. Now, as wonderful as that defense was, did you really think Patrick Mahomes wasn't going to find an answer to the puzzle? You know what I'm saying? This is Patrick Mahomes we're talking about. You can't give opportunities like that to a Patrick Mahomes. You can't give opportunities like that to a Tom Brady. You can't give those situations to a Drew Brees or a Peyton Manning. You know what I'm saying? So to lose to those quarterbacks, I would take pride into losing to those dudes. Now, you lose to a Kirk Cousins in that situation. You know what I'm saying? You lose to a you lose to Johnny Manziel in that situation, then yeah, you feel a certain way. But those guys I just mentioned, you don't feel a way about that. You take that loss, you chalk it up, and that's it. No reason for him to have been fired. And then on top of that, let's talk about the defense that he's had this one season with the 49ers. Do you know that Steve Wilks, his 1 year with this Niners defense, he had the third best scoring defense in the NFL this season? And on top of that, if you really want to keep it a buck, all the years that D'Amico Ryan was with the Niners, in 1 year, Steve Wilks, he was more efficient. His defense was more efficient than those years that D'Amico Ryan was the defensive coordinator of the Niners. Your defense makes it to the Super Bowl, where you hold Patrick Mahomes to 19 points in regulation. That's it. It's ridiculous that he got fired. Now, he'll land somewhere else, but I just hate the fact that this happened to him. He's going to land somewhere else. I don't know if it'll be this season. I don't know if it'll be next season, but he's going to land on his feet somewhere. He's definitely going to land his feet somewhere. But I just think that it's complete bullshit that he got fired. Because now let's go to Kyle Shanahan. Since we're talking about that game, let's talk about the miscues that Kyle Shanahan had. Now, mind you, this is supposed to be an offensive guru, right? This is supposed to be an offensive genius, right? Well, if you're an offensive genius like they say you are, how about this? Christian McCaffrey only had 22 rushes. In this type of game, C-Mac should have had damn near 30 carries. Because let's keep it all the way 100, shall we? Especially in that fourth quarter. You want to talk about possessions that might have cost you the game? I'll give you two scenarios in particular on why they lost this game. Before overtime, you had a 3rd and 4. You already in what looks to be your field goal range, right? You allow Brock Purdy to throw a little slant pass. It gets deflected real quick. To the point where now you have to kick this field goal
And then what you did was left so much time on the clock for that old boy Patrick Mahomes to come out there and work magic, which he did, which led the game to go into overtime. So that's one offense already. Then we get to overtime. They get down the field. Nice possession, for that matter, on the feet of Christian McCaffrey. The dude was damn near averaging 5 yards on each run. Why would you not give him the ball? Now, I'm not saying Brock Purdy is not deserving to be in that situation and be the guy, but me personally, in my honest opinion, especially in that possession, you go with what got you there. The best player for y'all all season has been Christian McCaffrey. That's who you should have been having the ball in their hands. Again, in those key possessions, he was averaging 5 yards rushing the ball. I am running the ball. I am handing the ball to Christian McCaffrey, and I am letting him take me home. Because here's the thing. If you give him the ball, the clock's moving. That Chiefs defense is getting tired. You're really putting pressure on that defense. But what did you do? You want to keep throwing the ball. You want to keep throwing the ball. Do y'all know who is on the other side of that on the field? That's Patrick Mahomes. Field goals are not going to do it. You need touchdowns. You need touchdowns. Field goals is not going to cut it. And again, I said this at the end of the fourth quarter. And I at the end of the fourth quarter. In that possession, that 3rd and 4, where they tried to let Brock Purdy do something, and they kicked the field goal, I said they left too much time on the clock for Patrick Mahomes. Too much time. Overtime, what did they do? Now, I'm not even going to really trip off of the whole, oh, they should have gave the Chiefs the ball first. I mean, at the end of the day, it is what it is. It is what it is in that situation. But me personally, I'm going for a touchdown in that first possession. I'm going with who got me there, and that was Christian McCaffrey. I am putting the ball in his hands, and I'm letting him try to get me a touchdown and keep that clock moving. But no, they want to keep throwing the ball. That's on the coach. That's playmaking. That's play calling. That's on the coach. That's on the head coach, not the defensive coordinator. That's on the coach. So, yes, it was very much bullshit that Steve Wilks got fired. The wrong guy got fired, in my opinion. But let's get to the real problem. And y'all know where I'm going with this, because in situations like this, I have to do it. Now, I know people hate to hear me say this, because I even made a video on my TikTok. And of course, you know, you had those people out there saying, oh my God, here we go with the blaming. Here we go with the victimhood and all this other bullshit. Listen, I call a spade a spade. Somebody said, dude, enough. If you didn't watch a single Niners game outside the Super Bowl, you cannot have a take on this. I have a take on whatever the fuck I want to have a take on. I know what I saw. The Niners got to the Super Bowl, right? So you try to tell me that Steve Wilks wasn't that good of a coordinator all season? The Niners get to the Super Bowl and he's supposed to get fired? No, I don't think so. Nice try. Somebody else wrote, the victimhood once again never ends. When it's bullshit, you're right, it never ends. And in this case, it's bullshit. Kyle Shanahan has the luxury of having the complexion for the protection for the collection. And that's why he is still the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. Because let's keep it all the way 100. Let's do the hypothetical. let's say the roles are reversed, right? Let's say Kyle Shanahan is the defensive coordinator in this situation. And let's say Steve Wilks is the head coach in this situation. Same scenario. The Chiefs win the Super Bowl, all that shit. Everything is still the same. Just their roles are different. You think Steve Wilks keeps his job? Hell no. He gets fired right on the spot. Probably in the same fashion that he gets fired in this situation. Now, what kills me is that Kyle Shanahan, Steve Wilks gets fired, and then now all of a sudden, you get interviewed. Oh, he was such a great coach. He was this, he was that. If he was all this and that, what the fuck you get fired for? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, don't try to give me my flowers now that that you fired me. You should have been giving me the flowers while I was on the team. Then Nick Bosa talking about some, we got to do better on defense. Motherfucker, motherfucker, what happened to the, listen, fourth quarter, like the second half, you slipped up. You fucked up. Biggest game of the season, y'all fucked up. But the whole season, y'all was great. The whole season, y'all was great. But let's be all the way 100 here. It's two reasons on why Kyle Shanahan did get fired. The first reason was the reason I just told you. He has the complexion for the protection for the collection in this situation. And the other reason is because of his last name, Shanahan. Y'all do know who his father is, right? Former Denver Broncos coach Mike Shanahan that won those Super Bowls with the Broncos in 97 and 98. That's the other reason on why he got fired and he didn't get fired. He has the luxury of being the prodigal son of a two-time Super Bowl champion. Because I'm going to keep it all the way 100. And this is my honest opinion. I think Kyle Shanahan is overrated. I think he is. He's overrated off the simple fact that when it comes to big games, he does not make the proper adjustments that he should make, and he doesn't pay attention to detail. I don't care what you do in the regular season. I care about what you do in games where it counts, the big games. And again, in big games, he's 0-3. In big games, which is the Super Bowl, he's 0-3. He can't get it done in big games. I truly believe that he's the Mike D'Antoni of the NFL. Now, I'm saying that, and y'all like, oh, who's Mike D'Antoni? Mike D'Antoni is that head coach in the NBA that constantly gets jobs when his team don't do shit. I mean, he's not working now, but I'm talking about before. You know, all those years in Phoenix, he was doing all that running gun, came up short in the playoffs. All those years he spent with James Harden, putting up these amazing numbers, come up short in the playoffs. But see, here's the thing. The one thing I will give Kyle Shanahan is he's been to the big game. Mike D'Antoni never been to the big game. Both are still overrated, though. Don't get me wrong. But you get what I'm saying. But yeah, this is complete bullshit. And I hope Steve Wilks lands on his feet somewhere because he definitely deserves it. Definitely deserves it. It's just unfortunate you were a victim in a situation to where your complexion didn't protect you. Somebody had to be the scapegoat in this situation. And unfortunately, the head coach wasn't going to fire himself. So he had to fire somebody. And unfortunately, it had to be you. Because anybody with a real football mind knows that the wrong coach got fired. Stevie Wonder could see that the wrong coach got fired. He should have been the one that got fired, not you. But, you know, it's fucked up. But it is what it is. It's the NFL. Nothing surprises me with the NFL. It's hard out there for a black man to be a head coach. It's hard out there to be a black man, to be a coach for any type of level in the NFL. It's very hard. And here's another case of it right here. Another case of it. Congratulations are in order to college basketball sensation Caitlin Clark. She has broken the NCAA women's career points record. And she did it in timely fashion last night. Okay? Timely fashion. Not only did she break the record probably within the first 5 minutes of the game, which is what I predicted, because they said that she would break. She had 8 points to go to break the record. I said she'll break that shit in the first quarter. And she did. And it wasn't through free throws. It wasn't through a two-pointer. It was by a damn near close to logo three-pointer, which is what she's been doing damn near all season. Okay? Just lighting it up from the three-point line. She broke Kelsey Plum's record. Kelsey Plum had 3,527. She was second. She was the all-time leader. And now Caitlin Clark has that distinction with 3,569 career points. She has broken the record. She is the all-time leader in women's career points. Congratulations to her. She just continues to break records. She just continues to do it. The only thing that is left for her to do is to win an NCAA national championship. That's all that's left for her to do. That's all that's left for her to do. Now, will she do it? That remains to be seen. Right now, Iowa is ranked number 4. And I don't know what it is. They've been ranked number 2 two times this season. And both times that they were ranked number 2, they was upset. I don't know what it is with that number 2 seed in the rankings in women's college basketball. Because if you get to number 2, you don't stay there for long. You don't stay there for long. But, again, congratulations to Caitlin Clark because, again, she has done nothing but amazing things these last 2 years in college basketball. She's been amazing the whole 3 years that we've seen her. But these last 2 seasons have been nothing but remarkable. They have been nothing but amazing. She continues to break records. I love watching her play. I love how the fans gravitate to her. Listen, she goes to away games. She goes to other universities to play. And the lines be to the T. You would think people are on the welfare line to see her. And then don't get me started with the ticket prices. Almost $10,000. The max, almost $10,000 to see this young woman. And she is out there putting on clinic after clinic after clinic. She's amazing. She is amazing. Now, it was brought to my attention that Pete Maravich, Pete Maravich, the late great Pete Maravich, he holds the all-time scoring record in college basketball. He holds the all-time record. Caitlin Clark is on verge to break that record. She ain't that far away. For real. His record is 3,667 points. That's his record. Caitlin Clark ain't that far away. Ain't that far away. And I think she will. I think she'll, I honestly think that she'll break it before this season is over. I think she'll break it before the season is over. Because remember, you still got conference play. And then you still got the March Madness. She's definitely going to break it this season. So at season's end, I think it's safe to say that Caitlin Clark will be the all-time leader, period. The all-time leader in career points in college basketball history. Not just for the women, but in general. Because Pete Maravich, the late, great Pete Maravich, has close to 3,700. 3,667 career points. Caitlin Clark is at 3,569. She's definitely going to break that record. Definitely. Now, I was watching her interview yesterday on SportsCenter. And of course, she said all the right things. Wonderful speaker. Very smart young woman. You hear the fans in the background chanting, "One more year. One more year. One more year." For those of y'all that don't know, she's eligible to stay in school for one more year because of the pandemic. Everybody is entitled to an extra year because of the pandemic if they choose to. Me and my honest opinion, this young lady don't need one more year in college basketball. She is WNBA ready now. She is ready now. And you got to seize the moment. You got to seize the moment. Because, God forbid, let's knock on wood here. Let's say she comes back next year and sustains an injury. What does that do to her stock for the 2025 WNBA draft? You got to strike while the pot is hot. Now, I know there's some assholes out there that say, "Oh, they don't make money like that in the WNBA." Okay, right, they don't. But guess what? Caitlin Clark has a lot of endorsements. She has her NIL deals. She don't lose any of that when she goes to the WNBA. She keeps it. If anything, her money off that might go up. The WNBA salary will be low. But her endorsements, her NIL deals, they may go up because she's moved on to the next level. So I wish people would do their homework when it comes to the money situation with the WNBA, because a lot of these top players in women's basketball, they got NIL deals. It's not a downgrade to go to the WNBA. For your game, it's an upgrade. It's an upgrade. But yes, I honestly believe that it's time for her to go. Like, it's nothing left to prove. Now, if she really wants to stay to try to win a national championship, by all means, go ahead. I mean, you was close last year. You made it to the title game with LSU and you lost. If you think that you can spin the block and get there again and possibly win, why not go for it? But I just think, in my honest opinion, I just think that it's over. I think that it's time for her to go to that next level. I think it's time for her to just go to the WNBA and become the big star over there. Because if she goes over there, do you know what that does for the WNBA? It's going to be so much hype revolved around the WNBA once she decides that she's going to declare not. I honestly think that it's time. So, Iowa fans, I know y'all was with the whole one more year shit, but nah, I think it's over. I think it's over. I think she's WNBA ready now. I thought she was WNBA ready last year, but obviously You know, you have to have a certain amount of years before you could go. I think this is the year right here where it's time for her to go. I truly believe that. I truly do. Now, Shaq Diesel, the big Aristotle, Superman, Shaq Fu, Shaq Diesel, the big Shamrock when he was with the Celtics, all these, Kazam, all these names, right? Shaquille O'Neal. Has gotten his number retired now by 3 franchises. That would be the Miami Heat. That would be the Los Angeles Lakers. And now the Orlando Magic. Now, the question that has been lingering, especially after his jersey got retired, which was a beautiful ceremony, I might add. You know, a lot of the old players, his former players, showed up for their support. The Nick Andersons of the world, the Dennis Scotts of the world, Penny Hardaway. You know Penny was going to be there. You know what I mean? The question that's been asked is, should Shaq have gotten his number retired with the Orlando Magic? That has been the question. Should he have gotten his number retired with the Orlando Magic? The answer for me is a simple yes. Now, listen, 4 years. Listen, I get it. 4 seasons is not enough. And then on top of that, you talk about the way he left Orlando. They didn't leave on good terms. Just watch the documentary on ESPN about that Magic team, and then you'll see what I'm talking about. He didn't end on a positive. He then leaves and goes to the Lakers. Garners all the success with LA. But I don't think that's the reason on why that you should hold it against him. I'm just saying from the aspect of the way he left, it wasn't on good terms. 4 seasons, right? But look what he did in those 4 seasons. He damn near was an all-star every year, probably except the rookie year. He was a monster when he was with Orlando. A monster, okay? A monster. He averaged 23-14 his rookie year. He averaged almost 30-13 his second year. He averaged 29-11 his third year. And then he averaged 27-11 his last year. Yes, the Orlando Magic got to the finals that 1 year and got swept to the Houston Rockets. No offense there. Look who you was going against. Hakeem Olajuwon. He was a baby at this time. He was still a baby. He got schooled by Olajuwon. And then the next year, they get swept by Jordan in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then after that, it's over. And he leaves. But I honestly think that he should have got his number retired because he brought credibility to that Orlando Magic franchise. Because remember, the Orlando Magic was a very, very, very young franchise. They were a very young franchise. They weren't one of these teams that was around for a long time. They were a very young team. Very young. 1989. Shaq gets drafted the 92-93 season. So you saying 90, 91, 92. You saying 3-4 seasons, Shaq comes And he brings immediate credibility to the Magic's team. Now, obviously, they weren't winning at first. That wasn't until Penny showed up when they really started winning. But just off of him, his character, his personality, his sense of humor, he brought a lot of credibility to the Orlando Magic. So off those reasons alone, and what he did on the basketball court, is more of a reason on why he should have got his number retired. Now, if we're going to put everything in perspective for what he does for the community in Orlando and all that shit, it's even more of a reason on why he should have got his number retired. I think they did the right thing. I know a lot of people, oh, he didn't stick around long enough. He didn't win nothing in Orlando. So? You know how many people got numbers retired and they ain't win shit? I could do an episode talking about motherfuckers that ain't won nothing but got their numbers retired from respective teams. Steve Nash with Phoenix. He ain't win shit in Phoenix. But guess what? He got his number retired. Okay, yeah, he got two MVPs. Did you win anything? No. He got his number retired. So why Shaq can't have his? My only issue with the Magic and them retiring Shaq's number, I think they fucked up the banner. I think they fucked up the banner. Now, for those of y'all that don't remember the Orlando Magic jersey back then, that was one of the most sexy jerseys. Like, as far as the logo goes, you understand what I'm saying? That was one of the sexiest jerseys that you wanted to wear. You had the Bulls jersey, right? You had the Magic jersey. You had the Raptors jersey. You had the Houston Rockets jersey. I'm talking about the Rockets jersey. I'm talking about the Rockets jersey after the back-to-back championships. Not that old-fashioned one. The one with the Rocket and on the jersey. That I'm talking about that one. They botched the jersey. Like, if you go back and you watch and you see old highlights of the old Magic jersey, with the black with the pinstripe jersey. The Magic players, their jerseys, the numbers were shaded in black. Their names were shaded in blue, but their numbers were shaded in black. The Orlando Magic, with them doing this to Shaq, if you look at the jersey, it looks like the current Magic jersey or the Magic jersey when Dwight Howard was there. They botched Shaq's retirement number. I mean, they botched the banner, in my opinion. Just go back and watch. Just look at old highlights of Shaq in a Magic uniform, and you'll see what I'm talking about. So I honestly think, like, if I had to be that guy to complain about one thing about a jersey banner thing, that would be it. Because I think they botched that, in my opinion. That's the only hiccup that I can say. But other than that, yes, Shaq definitely deserved his number to be retired. He definitely deserved it. Even in four seasons, I think he deserved it. So aside from Wilt Chamberlain, Shaq is the only other player to now have his team to have his number retired by three franchises. And honestly, in my honest opinion, I do believe that Shaq should have got his number retired by the Orlando Magic. Do I think he should have been the first one to get it retired? No. I think Dwight Howard should have. Because Dwight Howard, this is a debate for another day. I believe Dwight Howard is the greatest player in Orlando Magic history. I'm going to say it again. I think Dwight Howard is the greatest player in Orlando Magic history. I didn't say he's greater than Shaq overall. I'm just talking about in that uniform. Like, if you talk about what you did with that uniform, who's the greatest player to ever put on that Magic uniform, I think it's Dwight Howard. I think it's Dwight Howard. Obviously, Shaq had a better career. Obviously, Shaq is the better player. But greatest player in that team's history, I believe, is Dwight Howard. But that's a conversation for another day. But yes, again, congrats to Shaquille O'Neal on being the second player to have his number retired by three franchises. Very well deserving. Y'all know how I feel about Shaq. If I was putting an all-time team together, I'm putting Shaq as my all-time center. He's my starting center. Yes, Kareem is greater. But I'm going with the Diesel. First, I grew up watching him. That's number one. And then number two, he was just so dominant. Ain't nobody going to stop him. Nobody's going to stop him. Especially if we talking Lakers Shaq, ain't nobody stopping him. Nobody's stopping him. So, yes, congratulations again to the Diesel on getting your number retired by the Orlando Magic. By the way, Penny should get his number retired as well. Just throwing that out there. But it's a wrap for this episode. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. Oh, before I go, I definitely want to send well wishes to the fans in Kansas City from that horrific, horrific shooting at the Chiefs Championship Parade. I believe it was reported that I think one or two people were killed. Multiple injuries. A lot of kids were injured in that whole situation in Kansas City. Just heartbreaking to hear. You're celebrating a team winning their championship, and then to hear news like that is just unfortunate. So my well wishes goes to all the victims in that situation. And my thoughts and prayers go out to the victims who lost their lives also. So I definitely want to shed some light on that situation as well as this episode was going on. But, you know, once again, just thank y'all for y'all continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. Y'all know where y'all can find me. I'm on Apple Podcasts. I'm on Google Podcasts. I'm on iHeartRadio. I'm on Amazon Music. I'm on iTunes. I'm on Podbean. Y'all can find me on Facebook, Dre Day. Y'all can find me on X, Dre Day 1985. Y'all can find me on Instagram, Sportsway with Dre Day Podcast, or Dre Day 1985. The link is in the bio. And also, I might as well put it out there. I have a TikTok. I'm becoming very active on my TikTok. Very active. Dre Day 85. I couldn't use Dre Day 1985 because some bastard already had the name taken. So if you want to look me up, pause. Well, I mean, if you're a female and you want to look me up, Dre Day 85 is the name. So once again, thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. And in closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sports Way with Dre Day Podcast. Again, thank y'all for the continued support. Have a blessed weekend. Be safe out there. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here. And I told you, under an hour, and I made that happen. I know I said a little over a half hour, but ha, y'all know me. Y'all know how that goes. But God bless. Peace and love. Catch y'all on the flip side. Your boy is out of here. Peace.